We appreciate you tuning in on this beautiful evening in Haines for our third EOC town hall meeting. This is an opportunity for the EOC to share some updated information with all of you and for us to get your comments and questions so that we can get some feedback and some input on where we go from here. And so I appreciate you again calling in or listening or Zooming, however you're connected to us. We have members of our EOC here at the library, and we are ready to go. So thanks again, and we look forward to hearing from you later in this meeting. At this time, I would like to turn the mic over to our incident commander, Carol Ann Wooten, and it's yours, Carol Ann.
Thank you. Do I need to use the microphone?
All right. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and join us for this EOC. We look forward to working with you tonight, and hopefully at the end of this meeting, we will all feel like we have accomplished some things. So the main reason that we decided to have this EOC, this town hall EOC, is because we really just wanted input from the community. It's really important as we are making decisions. We struggle with these decisions. They're not easy. They don't come easy. We understand that they have the potential to restrict people's lives and have an impact on everybody in the community. And so we do struggle with them. And I was hoping that if we did this, that we could engage you guys, the community, to help us problem solve. So before we get started, I just want to kind of do a couple of housekeeping things. If you are planning on participating, then great. Be on the Zoom, and that's fine. If you are just going to listen, if you just want to, kind of tune in so you know what's going on, it's probably best if you don't Zoom because it will help save our bandwidth if you don't. But KHNS is doing a live broadcast of this meeting, and we are so glad that they are here, and we appreciate them taking this on and getting us live. And so it's hopefully the audio will be good. If you would like to speak or ask questions, please use your raise hand feature on your Zoom application. Wait to be recognized. We do have some people here who are monitoring that, so we will get to you. And then last but not least, we have 90 minutes tonight with you. We want to respect your time and our own time, and we need to keep things kind of tight. So if you are speaking, please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. That way, others get a chance to participate as well. Okay, so moving on. The details for this particular meeting should be available on the screen here. You can dial in. You can dial in on 877-853-5247. The meeting ID is 827-4939-2798, and the password is 316970. Now, that's if you're dialing in. And remember, it is #6 for you to mute or unmute your phone if you need to do that. Do you need to do that for Zoom? I don't know. Okay, so you will need to unmute your phone if you decide that you want to speak when it's time. And then, of course, you can do Zoom meeting and, of course, listen by live broadcast. So, moving on to the next slide there. Eric. So the agenda to tonight is just an opportunity for us. For one, I'm going to talk a little bit about where we are as an EOC and just kind of give you a short update. We have our medical professionals, Dr. Lilith Widmer from Search, who is going to talk to you guys specifically about the Haines medical capacity. And then we also have Elaine Hickey, who is our public health nurse. She's actually down in Juneau, and she's in on this Zoom meeting as well. And she's going to talk to you guys about the public health perspective. Then, once we get through that, then we're going to actually do the community engagement piece. And this is where we want your input. We're going to develop a risk strategy rubric. And we're going to kind of flesh it out. I've got some a framework started, but we're going to flesh it out as a group, hopefully, or at least from what comes out of this meeting. And then we're also going to talk about just cruise ships and the tourism season in general for the summer. And at the very end, we'll have some reference sources for you. This meeting is being recorded, so hopefully you'll be able to access that later if you should need to. Okay, so moving on to the next slide, Eric. So on Monday, the EOC was notified of our first confirmed case of COVID-19. And I think it's really important for us to just say that our thoughts and prayers are with this person, for their family and for their full recovery. And I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge, that we are deeply concerned and we want to see them make a full recovery. So I do want to put that out there. We as an EOC, we have elevated our risk level from low to medium. You're going to get a better understanding of that in the next few slides. Our public health nurse, Elaine Hickey, will discuss kind of what to expect next, since public health is key in what happens after we have active cases. But just to start off, I want to share why I think this first case really matters. And the main thing is that we've been really dealing in theory for months now. For the last 3 months, we've been dealing with theory. But I think we can all acknowledge now that we are not going to avoid COVID-19. It's here. One positive case means it's really quite likely that there may be others. And unchecked, this really has a potential to become many more. And that's why this is really super important. Let's refocus our energy. We need to start talking about slowing the spread, and we need to protect the most vulnerable of our community. And then last but not least, we need to change our thought process. So we've been thinking all along, keeping it out, but now we need to figure out how are we going to live with COVID-19, because at the end of the day, we all really want to live, and being in lockdown, being hunkered down without any economy probably isn't really what any of us signed on for as how we want to live. I think it's really important to talk about who are the most vulnerable, and based on current clinical information and clinical expertise, older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions might be those who are considered to be at the highest risk for severe illness in COVID-19. Based on what we know, those at high risk for severe illness from COVID-19 include individuals who are 65 and older. I know that's not a guarantee. We know there are people of all age groups who are getting it, but this is the most highest risk. People who live in a nursing home or a long-term care facility. People of all ages with underlying medical conditions, particularly if it is not well controlled, including people with chronic lung disease or moderate severe asthma, people who have serious heart conditions, people who are immunocompromised or have an autoimmune disorder, people with severe obesity, people who are diabetic, people with chronic kidney disease, undergoing dialysis, and people with liver disease. And I think that's just good information. It's an educational thing for all of us to know who those are that we are really having to be concerned about as we move forward in our mitigation. Mm-hmm. So some things to keep in mind. Like I said, we're really transitioning from this message that we've had of keeping COVID out of Haines, and now we're going to let's stop the spread of COVID in Haines. It's here. The Haines EOC is here to make recommendations to the assembly. That's our role, and to the manager. Some things we as a community have some control over. Others we do not. But we're going to work together, and we're here to work with the community to go through this pandemic together. So as an EOC, we came up with these things. These are the things that we feel like are out of our control. These are factors we have no control over. So state health mandates, we don't have a lot of control over what the governor does. Human behavior, again, the rights of individuals and businesses, and of course, visitors coming to Haines. Factors that are within our control are cruise ships that are in our port, recommendations and outreach, asymptomatic testing, it takes money. We can have empathy and we can choose to be kind. We cannot feed gossip and rumor. And we can choose to respect the privacy of patients. That's something that I care very deeply about. So our hope here is that we'll get a snapshot of the community's desires. And from this, we'll be able to make some recommendations going forward to the assembly for policymaking. No one side will win in this. I want everyone to understand that. We all come from differing viewpoints, differing views on COVID-19, whether we think it's real or a joke, or whether it's overhyped or not. But the truth is, at the end of the day, we're going to sort of try to come somewhere in the middle. This is designed to give you, the community, a voice in our discussion. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn the rest of the meeting now over to Dr. Widmer, so she can give us an update on where we are in Haines in our medical response.
Yeah. Hi, Carolyn. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you great.
Great. Okay. Thank you for that introduction. I wanted to also thank everyone who's on this call tonight for joining us. I want to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you for your continued efforts to prevent the novel coronavirus from spreading within our community. Thank you for your efforts to physically distance, to wash your hands and wipe down surfaces, to wear masks and face coverings, to quarantine after you travel. All of these sacrifices, they're noticed and they're appreciated. We know now that the novel coronavirus has made its way to Haines, and your continued efforts are paramount in preventing further spread, and I think are more important now than ever. I wanted to talk a bit about two topics. The first is testing, and the second is management of positive cases, the clinical management of positive cases, excuse me. So the search clinic continues to test for coronavirus based on Alaska state and CDC guidelines, which includes anyone with any of the following symptoms: fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, diarrhea, diminished sense of smell or taste, fatigue, headache, rash, muscle aches, runny nose, and sore throat. So please do let us know if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, and we will ensure that you're tested. We are currently testing select groups of high-risk asymptomatic individuals. This includes all search employees every 2 weeks, first responders, including police, fire, and EMS, long-term care residents, dental patients prior to aerosolizing procedures, certain urgent and emergent patients to ensure staff safety, select businesses who are setting up a contract to test high-risk individuals. In addition, anyone who is deemed a contact of a positive case is recommended to have testing regardless of whether or not they have any symptoms at the time. And we are, in general, working to make more broad asymptomatic testing available. We will honor vouchers for testing dispensed by the state of Alaska for travelers. And if you desire asymptomatic testing but don't fall into one of these categories that I've listed, please feel free to contact the clinic, set up an appointment, and discuss this further with one of our providers. Our testing capacity is robust. We have almost 11,000 test kits throughout the consortium. We have performed nearly 6,000 tests throughout Southeast, 320 of which have been in Haines. This translates to roughly 12% of our total population. Our clinic staff is well prepared. We have 2 ventilators and 2 ICU level rooms. We are prepared to care for critically ill COVID patients if the need arises. That said, because we are a small facility with limited space and staffing, our capacity is limited. Regarding clinical management of positive cases, those with mild illness and no obvious risk for decompensation or for getting sicker will be monitored at home via telemedicine. Those with mild illness and the risk to get sicker who don't necessarily meet criteria to be hospitalized, but would be maybe safer riding it out, the illness and their quarantine closer to a hospital, will be offered commercial transport and observation at Mount Edgecombe Hospital in Sitka. Those with moderate or severe disease will be transferred to a hospital via Medevac, and the choice of that hospital will depend on a number of things, the severity of illness of the patient, as well as regional capacity at that time. Patients will not be able to bring a family member with them on a Medevac unless they are a minor. I'm happy to take any questions when we get to that point. I just want to say thank you again to the whole EOC. They're working very hard. And also to the Haines Health Center clinic staff for all of your efforts to prepare for this pandemic coming to our community. So thank you all.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Widmer. Really appreciate it. And I'd like to introduce Elaine Hickey. You probably remember her from our last EOC. She is the public health nurse. She's in Juneau. And is Elaine on?
Hi, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hi.
Okay, great. Hi. So yeah, thank you for including me in today's meeting. I also want to say thank you so much for everyone's efforts and input into creating all the plans and the response plans and that have been in place. I like to ensure everyone, the first case, as we said, has finally arrived and it has happened. I'd like to ensure everybody in the community, the systems that are in place that were set up have run very smoothly. Thanks to the clinic and the EOC, the Department of Epidemiology up in Anchorage. Once that positive test result is obtained from the laboratory, there was very fast notification and response from all parties that needed to be involved. I'd like to also just ensure everyone and remind people that, once that positive test is obtained, public health does start immediately along with contacting the medical providers for that client. In tracking the client, talking to the client, obtaining any list of people that would be deemed close contacts. I also like to just remind that, if you were deemed to be a close contact to someone with a positive COVID test, you will be contacted, and you will be contacted as soon as that positive test result and your name is obtained from that patient. I think sometimes people get nervous and they feel like, they were possibly exposed or hear rumors of names of who a person is, and they're often wrong and not accurate. So I agree with Carol Ann's words and appreciate them. Please try to remember to respect privacy of patients with that information. We like to tell people, think about if it was yourself that was the case, and, and could be any one of us at any given time that does have a positive test, and how we would want to be treated in the community and talked about, or, have empathy for people. We never know what someone's situation is, and people can always use help. Monitoring continues for depending on if you're the index case or the contact to the positive case. There's different time frames, different guidelines. It depends if you're symptomatic, asymptomatic. There's great information that can all be found on the state's website. So it's just alaska.gov. And if you click on to the COVID-19 link and go to that page, you can get out to all kinds of resources and information along with the data hub for the state. So it lists all the updating of daily numbers, what types of cases they are, if the case has been determined yet, what communities the cases are in, the number of tests that have been performed. There's all kinds of information on there that can be really helpful that you could follow along with if you were interested, plus resources, like I had mentioned. One other thing I think I just like to say is that, we understand that it's scary and people get stressed and are worried and concerned for themselves, their families, and, their loved ones and neighbors. And people always want to hear more information sometimes than, we are allowed to share. We have to follow HIPAA guidelines, and the important part is knowing there is a positive in the community, and, it doesn't change by who it is, what it means that needs to take place. Those investigations are done. People are monitored and followed daily. And again, the community response to that needs to continue to be, as we were saying, you know, your good hygiene, maintaining distances, wearing your face mask in public if you can't be 6 feet apart, you know, keeping your social distancing, circle small, stay home if you're sick. Don't be out and about in public if you're sick. And important, get tested. If you have the slightest little symptom, even if it's a runny nose, call and see about getting tested. Don't wait. The sooner a test result is obtained and we get a test and we get a positive, the faster it can be contained, and the faster responses can happen and the better for the community. So I will also be available for questions later in the next part if anybody has any. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. We really appreciate that. And I realized in my hurry, I skipped over something really important. So I'm going to go ahead and let our Director of Tourism and a member of our EOC, Stephen Auk, talk a bit about, well, one of the factors we can't control and one that we can. Go ahead, Stephen.
Thanks, Carol Ann. Appreciate it. I just wanted to take a quick moment to point out a few things to everybody here that's listening in. It's important to know that we cannot restrict people from coming to town. Over the coming days, weeks, and months, we will see essential workers, snowbirds, and tourists come to town. While the state is requiring testing or quarantine for those entering the state, we cannot stop them from entering our community if they followed state guidelines. And there are no restrictions on those visiting Haines from other places in Alaska. This is why we as individuals need to follow CDC and state guidelines by wearing masks when social distancing is difficult, keeping our social bubbles small, and washing our hands often. As Carol Ann has stated, we can also talk to businesses. They have the power to require their customers to wear masks, maintain social distancing requirements inside their businesses, and require other protective measures that they choose to put in place. Businesses can create mitigation plans for their guests and clients to follow. It is important that we ask our local business community to help us protect ourselves. This is also why the borough is working with the cruise industry to help create mitigation plans that will protect our community. The EOC recommended the assembly tell cruise lines not to come to Haines until we feel those plans are well-structured to protect the health of our community. Last night, the assembly voted to support that stance until further notice. This was because the mitigation plans we have seen to date are not adequate to protect our community. We are also weighing the economic benefit as well, but the protection of our health is our highest priority. While we don't expect this stance to change anytime soon, we are continuing conversations with cruise lines. Today, American Cruise Lines announced they were delaying their first planned departure until July 23rd instead of the previous date of June 26th. We will continue to monitor the situation, review mitigation plans, and when the perceived risk is low enough to be acceptable, we'll ask the assembly to review the position. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. I think it's really important for you guys to understand that there's a lot of work that goes into this. I think we work on this probably almost every day. And then somewhere in there, we have to do our regular jobs. It gets a little fun sometimes. But I think the main thing I wanted to convey to the community is that we really are trying our best to think of every angle in every part of this. I think we recognize that we're human, we can miss, and that's part of the reason why we're going to engage you guys tonight. So with that said, I'm going to let Aleka come up here to her whiteboard, because we are now at the part where we're going to begin to engage with you on a live basis. And so first off, before you move her over, I want to show them the slide on the risk factors. That's okay. You just moved a little fast. So at the EOC, we've been working with Roy Getchell from the Haines School Superintendent, and we really have enjoyed having Roy as a part of our group. And I think the part of that I find amazing is that we really do want to have some sort of uniformity of message. And so Roy, we were struggling. We were kind of talking about how we wanted to begin to maybe change how we identified our risk. And we were kind of knocking some ideas around. And Roy shared with us this rubric, which is modeled after the Department of Education Early Development's Smart Start 2020 rubric. We liked it. It makes a lot of sense. It's super simple. And we thought it was really important to have some similarities in the graphics and colors between the two organizations. Our needs are going to be different, but I think it's a good idea to have things kind of look similar across the board. So I think you can see that we kind of came up with these three risks. I would say that what's not on here is there's maybe a blue color that would be zero risk, which may be where we were before we ever even knew about COVID-19. There was nothing that we were asking anybody to do aside from enjoy life. Then we went to low risk, and that was when we first recognized that this pandemic was a problem. There was no laboratory cases in Haines at all. But there were definitely cases in Alaska, and that's when we began to ask the community to suit up, if you will. We asked you to start hunkering down, shelter in place, all that stuff that we did prior to opening up. Medium risk is sort of an escalation. That is when we first start seeing confirmed travel and community confirmed cases in town. On Monday, we moved into medium risk. And let me see if I have notes here. Whoops, I moved myself too fast. I think it's really important to demonstrate what community transmission or community spread is. They're often interchangeably, you're going to hear them both. But basically, that's when there's no clear source of origin of the infection in a community. The CDC describes this as a situation when people have been infected from the virus in an area, including some who are not sure how or where they became infected. And very early on, that was people who had no known travel or had no connection, anybody who had traveled to any of the known centers for the pandemic, which would have been China. We do not know what the final decision and declaration is for the case that we have in Haines, but we have been told it was not necessarily travel related. So I would say without any further information, it'll get confirmed, of course, but I would say we're probably in this yellow zone of having confirmed community transmission of cases in Haines. High risk is the next level. And this is, honestly, we don't want to go here. This is when we start having widespread community confirmed cases. Our medicine may or may not, our medical system could be overrun. It definitely would require us calling in for help. And by that, I mean, we would be calling in the state to come in and help assist us. We may need to have to set up staging areas where we have hospitals or alternative care sites. So this is a place where we don't want to go. And I would say for our community, this is where we go when we say we need to go back to shelter in place. We need to shut down our economy again. We need to go back to isolation. And when I say this is where we don't want to go, this is the thing that makes me stay awake at night, is worrying about how we avoid having to shut down our economy, which is just now starting to kind of reawaken and reopen. So with that said, I think that's my call to you guys, is that as you start thinking about what steps we want to take, remember, it's a balancing act. We want to be safe, we want to be smart, but we don't want to shut everything down again. And that's why we don't want to allow this to spread. I hear a lot of different talk in the community. I know that you guys do too. There are those who think that wearing a mask is horrible, don't want to do it. I get it. That's your right. But I will say that wearing a mask is deemed from most medical sectors to be the most effective way to help stop the spread of COVID-19. So you will see our EOC wearing a mask when they go into a public building. I do. I wear a mask. I don't go to church yet. And I don't go to church not because I don't want to go to church. I don't go to church because I am concerned about my possibly bringing something into the group that could harm somebody else, because I don't know what everybody else's situation is. I think one of the things that I thought was really cool, I don't know if anybody saw it, was Dr. Zink had a tweet that she did today, I think, where she said the three reasons why she wears a mask. None of them are about her. None of them. They're all about everybody else. Oh, Lekka printed it out for me. Awesome. So if you didn't hear it, she said, I wear my mask while in public for three reasons. One is humility. I don't know if I have COVID, as it is clear that people can spread this disease before they have symptoms. Two is out of kindness. I don't know if the person I am near has a kid battling cancer or cares for their elderly mom. While I might be fine, they might not. And three is community. I want my community to thrive. I want the businesses to stay open, employees to stay safe. Keeping a lid on COVID helps us all. So I think that's a great way for us to segue into this piece where I would like to start engaging with folks on Zoom. And Eric will open it up. But before you do, I just want to let you know that we, on the next slide, Eric, as an EOC, when we talked about this town hall, we wanted to go ahead and start throwing in what we thought were risk factors and how we would respond as an EOC at each of these different levels. And low risk has already been done. We probably don't need to worry about that one. But where we need to engage with you guys is in how we respond going forward with our medium risk. So some of the early ideas that we came up with was to wear a mask in for, this is for medium risk, starting from Monday going forward. Wear a mask in public places, social distancing, washing hands frequently. We also recommend small groups, less than 10. These are not the ideas that we're going to push, by the way. I just want you to know that these are what we talked about. Limiting events, canceling events maybe, I don't know. Limit trips to the post office, to the grocery store, to the bank, et cetera. And then asking businesses to follow their cleaning and disinfection plan and social distancing. If you look at the top of this slide, it says draft in big letters. That's because this is draft. When we get done today, hopefully we'll be able to have a little better idea and we'll be able to put something out more permanent. Okay, so if you would like to raise your hand, this is where you guys can start weighing in. Star 9 will allow you to raise your hand if you're on the phone. And I have Eric over there manning the monitoring what's going on. So, Eric, is there anybody that wants to speak at this very moment? So, 5736, if you would please state your name and go ahead and speak, we would love to hear from you.
All right. Hi, this is Lee Robinson.
Oh, hi, Lee.
Yeah, hi guys. How's everyone doing? Thanks for holding the town hall tonight. And I have a couple of questions or just maybe comments maybe you guys could discuss. And maybe you will discuss this anyway. And if you already said something about it, I apologize if I didn't catch it. I'm curious, in this first case, how quickly were contact tracing calls made once it was identified? Number two, I would guess that businesses are contacted during this procedure. And then number three, kind of on a different note about asymptomatic testing, I'm hoping the borough with CARES Act funding can implement some kind of testing protocol for businesses to allow their employees to be tested. I would love to be able to send employees who volunteer to be tested, to get tested, to put the clientele that we serve at ease, our guests at ease, and also to put my employees at ease. Is there any discussion about using CARES Act funding to help asymptomatic testing right now? And that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Lee. So you had three different questions there. I'm going to go ahead and refer to Elaine, since she's our public health nurse, and that's what she does is the contact tracing. So she can answer the question about how fast we began or you began contact tracing.
Hi, yeah. So we received the positive result first thing in the morning when I got into the office on Tuesday morning, and the contact was made to the client right after I talked to the clinic first, and then I called the client, and we did the whole investigating package then, and everyone that needed to be notified was called right at that time. So, you know, as soon as I got that information, we began it and did it immediately. I hope that answers.
Yep. Except for that, I think you did it on Monday, not Tuesday, right?
Was it Monday? Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost all track of days this week.
That's okay.
I thought it was Friday this morning. So yeah.
So has everybody,
hold on a second. I think the reason for the question was posed by people I've run into, and that is that they were surprised that they didn't even know anybody who had been reached for contact tracing. And perhaps this patient or client didn't have much contact with anyone, and that's perhaps a viable reason. I think they were surprised that even in their social circles, they hadn't heard of anybody being contacted through contact tracing.
Yes, I can tell you that there were a very limited number of contacts that needed to be contacted. That I can share with you. So, and that often does happen. And like I said, sometimes people kind of think they have an idea who that positive person is out there in the community. So they're surprised they haven't heard something or they didn't know something. But it often is the case that it's not known and nobody hears anything really. That's why we always just try to really educate and say, you know, if you are deemed a contact, you would be notified. And hopefully that helps people feel more at ease.
Elaine, I would assume that means, can you tell me, has everyone been contacted at this time that will need to be contacted in this instance?
Yes, they have. Yep. They were, in like an hour and a half of that morning when we got the result.
Great. Okay, so I guess in kind of adding to that, Lee, I would suspect that we have to understand that just because someone's been contacted doesn't mean other people in the community are going to know. I think we have to know that not everyone wants people to know, and they have a right to that privacy, and we need to respect it. I know people are scared. And I know that it's hard to understand, like, you're thinking about yourself. What if I was in contact with them? And I think that what I'm hearing and what I've been hearing all along from our state epidemiology and from public health is that the way that you will know is if they contact you. If you find out another way, that's probably not good. Lee, I think...
To follow up on that, I think I agree with you completely. I think through the grapevine or through the rumor mill, if you will.
Lee, can you speak up a little bit? Can you speak a little bit louder?
I don't know what else to do.
Okay, just go.
I don't know. Is this any better?
No, just go ahead and go.
I lost my train of thought there. I think the question would be that the rumor mill was that, you know, perhaps they didn't even start contact tracing for a day. Anyway, so thank you for putting that to rest, that it was begun immediately. I think that'll put a lot of people at ease. Thank you.
Great. Did you have another question at the beginning that I didn't answer, or did we get them all?
Our businesses contacted, and then the whole thing about asymptomatic testing.
Okay, so our businesses contacted. I think that's really, again, an Elaine answer, but I think that is if they believe that there's reason to believe that contact has occurred in a place of business, and by contact, that usually means some sort of prolonged exposure. Elaine, you can correct me on that. Then they would contact that business. But would you like to chime in on that?
You are correct. That is correct. A business is deemed the same thing in those same questions, that close contact within 6 feet for 10 minutes or longer with anyone in those locations. So that's where that would come into play. Same if it was someone that is employed, if the employer would be notified with the person's consent by us if there were people there that were deemed to be in close contact, and if it's depending on the type of business. So there can be different circumstances for that.